It's just test me after test me after test me with you. And it's just really wonderful. Like, God is really doing a great work in your life. And like I said, it's because you're going to God, you're praying, you're giving Him your desires, you're following, you're putting to practice what we're encouraging, especially from the one-on-ones. And anyone that does that will take off. There's no problem. You know, it's not just mental ascent. Faith without works is dead. We need to put some action to the faith that we got. We say we believe, so where's the fruit from that? And God gives you what to do. I would encourage anyone, when you're listening to a sharing, when you listen to a teaching, when you're reading the scriptures, look for the practical things that you can do. How can I apply this in my life? How does it resonate with me? How can I do this? Otherwise, it's just knowledge. It just becomes knowledge. So when we're sharing, like here on the Soon Fellowship, we're allowing God to work in us to give us the heavenly words, and in those heavenly words there will be things that you can do and you can apply. And on the one-on-ones today, I was sharing with Becky, like, this Soon Fellowship is not my Soon Fellowship. Number one, it's God's Soon Fellowship, but I said it's your Soon Fellowship. Put your name on it. And you can say to people, oh, I run a Soon Fellowship on a Thursday. Okay, we're leading it, but you can say, I run a Soon Fellowship. So when you do that with that type of mind, it gives you a sense of commitment. So for me, I was sharing with Becky that wherever I go, whatever I do, on a Thursday, I will do that Soon Fellowship. The only time I can never do it is if I haven't got no internet. But if I'm going away on holiday, I search and I make sure I got good connection. And if there isn't good connection there, then I make sure I can use my phone so that I don't miss it, because God's people need to be fed. It's like coming home to a house full of kids and saying, okay, we're not having food today because I ain't got the resources to do it. This is a commitment that I made to live my life before God. Like I shared last week, it's 100% for God for me in my life. I have to start this fellowship at 8 o'clock whether people do or not. Is a level of commitment that I made. I click the link and we start at 8 and then people start to join. No matter what's going on for me, my responsibility is to do the Soon Fellowship. This is what God put in my heart to do. But also it's your Soon Fellowship. You're getting blessed, you're coming and God's put it in your heart to come. So when you meet anyone, say, I do a Soon Fellowship every Thursday. It's at this time and you're more than welcome to come. Treat this as your own fellowship. It's God's fellowship. It's all of our fellowship. And then when you do it with that mind, then you'll have a different level of commitment for it, so that you can get the best from it. Now, our business is the Father's business, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're fellow laborers together with God. This is God's business, and we're a part of God's business. We're His sons and daughters, but we're a part of God's business. Give our full commitment. Oh, I'm working for my God. I'm going to give my best to God. Like, God has given His best for us. He arranged everything for us. He put everything back in order spiritually through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ done. And our gospel is a gospel of hope. It's good news. It's good news of hope. It's a good news of peace. It's the gospel of peace. And this gospel of peace, this word peace, means to be set at one again. Through what Jesus Christ done and us accepting Him as our Lord and Savior and believing that God raised Him from the dead, we've been set at one with God. When something's out of line, it's not set as one. If someone's ill, they're not set as one. If someone's got mind problems, they're not set as one. But when we get restored, when we get healed, we're set at one again in our bodies and our hearts and our minds. And spiritually, when we confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised Him from the dead, we were set at one. And that peace, not only is that we're set at one, this peace is a peace that you cannot get from this world. The peace that we have, you cannot attain it from anywhere in this world. This peace is what God has put in our heart via the Holy Spirit. And when we reconcile to God, then we have that Spirit of God, and now it's just our minds. And I was sharing with Becky today, many years ago, a wonderful saying, God's Spirit teaches your spirit. God doesn't communicate directly to your mind, but He speaks to your spirit. So God's Spirit teaches your spirit, that Holy Spirit in you, and your spirit teaches your mind. And then, whatever God has shown you and you do it, it becomes manifest in the senses realm. So when we do what God is showing us by what he's communicating to our spirit, which is teaching our mind, when our mind's lined up, when our thoughts are straight, when our thoughts are focused on God, then we can receive from God. But if we're distracted with the cares of this world, with the affairs of this world, with our emotions, with our feelings, with our circumstantial situations that we may be going through, then we can miss the voice of God. And I shared this because Becky asked me, you know, how do you really hear the voice of God? And God can speak to us in many, many different ways. He can speak to us when we're praying, we get inspired with thoughts and ideas. We could be doing something and we get a stray thought come in, that a set of thoughts that we're to act on, and we can recognize God's voice. And God says, be still. You got to be at peace. Be still and know that I am God. God wants you to rest in him. So this is why we enter into the rest. In other words, we labor to enter into rest. We know and find out what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that he is the Prince of Peace, and we've got that Christ in us, that gift of Holy Spirit, and we're set at one again. We've been reset from this world. We were born into this world. We've been reset back to that access to God. Adam and Eve were at one with God. And then when they sinned, they come away from that spiritual side of things. And they were not at one with God. Sin entered into the world. Sickness, disease, all the things that we see that are not good in this world. And like I said to Becky, see, Satan is the God of this world. Not the God of the earth. He's the God of this world. The systems, the religions, certain people that are sold out to Satan, people that are not born again, that he uses at his pleasure. But when we become born again, we've been taken out spiritually, and now we are seated at the right hand side of God spiritually. And as we line our minds with what God is saying, then we can act that out. The spiritual comes into the physical. As we start changing our speech, as we start changing our actions, as we allow God to work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, you know, it's basically we let God go to work. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words from God. So God gives you the faith. He supplies everything to us. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, or the words from God, when someone is energized to speak. And then as we, our hearts are open to receive this wonderful truth, this gospel of peace, where we're set at one again. And that word peace, if you look up the Greek word, you'll see that what I'm saying is correct. And it also means prosperity. So people say, oh, they're teaching the prosperity gospel. Yeah, we are. It's the gospel of peace. Because peace always implies prosperity. If you've got no money, if you're ill, if you're sick, are you living in prosperity, spiritually, mentally, or physically? No, you're not. Because you've been divided up. You've been separated from what God has called you to be, right? But when we understand who we are, that, yes, God wants me whole, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, materially, emotionally. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled, right? Terasso, stirred up by different emotions, by different situations that affect your emotions in this world. He said, let not your heart be troubled. That's your point. You decide, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled, because I've got the peace of God in me via that Holy Spirit. I've got the heavenly words to show me who I am in Christ. I am as Jesus is right now at the right hand side of God. I am as he is in this world. Not I'm going to become that. I'm already that now. And as we set our affections and our thoughts on things above, then we can start to hear from God. We start to recognize the voice of God. As we're practicing what we're being encouraged, then we start to recognize God's wisdom and God's understanding. Oh, I understand why I must do this. Yeah, God has really enlightened my eyes with the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So God gives the understanding. He's the one that opens up these wonderful truths to us as we're humble, as we're meek, as we're ready to practice to do the things that God is working. And so God really wants to, he's always working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He really is. He really wants you blessed in every single area, in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking. We know Satan's job is to try and divide your mind, try to make you think that you're less than who you are, try to make you think, no, I can't be like as Jesus, you know, look at me. And I was born into sin. Yes, we were, but now we're saved from that. Now we've been cleansed. We've been made righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have right standing. We have direct access. And God says, now use this access. Receive my words gladly into your heart and move out upon it. And as you follow this encouragement, instruction you've been given, then, you know, fire the Spirit of God energizing a person to speak forth. As you practice it, that's the only time you're going to really see great results. It really is, you know, because for many years, you know, I was listening, there was times that I had levels of meekness to receive and do and practice, and I've seen wonderful things, but I still have my own mind in the sense of, no, I think it means this because the scriptures say that and this and that. But I didn't have the spiritual understanding of those scriptures. And so God had to take me on a journey and humble me down. He isolated me off. I was on my own. I was still doing the Skype fellowship at that time. And I was writing articles for the website, recording messages by myself. But then I started to realize that God was showing me, look, you know, you need to be connected to get fed the sound words. And he started to take me through the things. I was sharing this again with a believer that contacted me, Craig Banios, and that was quite interesting that he contacted me. But I encouraged him that, you know, we go to God, we are to be led by the Spirit, we let him work in our hearts. And there was a time when I was so empty, I didn't know what to do, and I smashed the side of the table with my fist and said, God bless me. And I walked to my back door, and then the Spirit of God rose up in me, come upon me, and then I was quiet, and I didn't want to move. I felt like I couldn't move, but I could, but I didn't want to, because I was just so blessed in that moment. You know when the Spirit of God comes upon you, if you've experienced that, and I'm sure you will have. And then God just said, Lawrence, say what you want, not what you see. Say what you want, not what you see. And God just kept, this thought kept going over in my mind, and I realized, oh my gosh, I've been saying what I see with my physical eyes. Oh, nothing's happening for me. Nothing's going right for me. Everyone's against me. Nobody likes me. And all these type of thoughts. And I kept saying it to Kim. Well, I'm doing my best, but everyone judged me. Everyone points. And what was I doing? I was sowing seeds of words, but seeds of fear. And they kept coming back and reproducing. And God was trying to get my attention, and he actually did. And it was through that point of peace. Even though I felt empty, I was really going to God, really from all of my heart, from the depths of my heart, I was going to God, to the point I said, God bless me. I knew I was blessed spiritually, but I wasn't experiencing or manifesting anything. But then when we really go to God, like not go to people, but we really go to God, he will speak clearly to your heart. He's waiting for you to go to him. We connect to people as God shows. But there's sometimes when he'll just get you on your own so that you can look to him and realize that everything in your life is coming from him. Not a man, not an organization, not a ministry, not even through your study. It comes from him, the fountain of living water. Then he directs your steps. He'll take you step by step. He'll build and work with your faith step by step. Just like I've been doing with the guys on the one-on-ones. And some people walk quicker than others. But the point is, we'll all end up at the same place anyway, as we stay focused with God. So no one's bigger than anyone else. And this is why I'm saying, this is your fellowship. When Thursday fellowship comes, you can say, even though we do it here from Bristol, you can say, I run a fellowship. I run a Zoom fellowship every Thursday. You're welcome to my fellowship. Because it's your fellowship as well. And then make a commitment to God. Yeah, this is my fellowship too. This is the household of God. And we're one body. See, we're one body of Christ. Not many bodies, not many organizations. God says, no, one body of Christ. God, Jesus Christ, and the body of Christ. So all these denominations, all defied, is carnal. But we're the one body, and everyone has the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. You have great freedom, guys. Our job, my job, is to connect you to go to God. To practice this wonderful encouragement that He puts in our heart. The things that I'm encouraging is what I'm doing. I'm practicing what I preach. So what I'm preaching to you, I'm doing. I get the results of what I'm doing. I can then know this is good to give. This is good to eat. This is what God wants you to have. And you can get it directly from God by going to God. And then when you focus on your mind, yeah, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to let Him lead me. I'm going to go where I'm going to be fed sound words. And I'm going to practice those sound words being spoken. See, if you go back over this sharing that I'm speaking now, when I put it on the website, like with all of your share, everyone's sharing goes on the website in one form or another. It gets on there, okay? So you're all being heard. People are listening to you. And we want to encourage ourselves, and we want to encourage other people. But if you go back over and listen to what I'm saying, and then pick out, what can I practice from what Lawrence shared? What can I put into practice from what Becky shared? From what Rebecca shared? From what Cathy Clark shared? What can I implement that is going to be beneficial for me? Because I see it's beneficial for them. It's called being humble and meek. And so, with my connections, when I connect to my leader, and I say leader because he's shown me a good way, he's setting an example for me, and I don't put that leader above me, I don't see it like that, but I know this man is walking with God, I know his family walks with God, so I listen, and God told me to connect there, so that's just what I've done, I've connected there, and then I've practiced. The things that I understand to do, I put into practice. I say, God, now you show me how to do this, you show me how to apply it, and then God's also working things in my heart to do and encourage, and in my one-on-ones, it's not a one-way street. I'm sharing what God's doing with my leader. This is what God's doing, this is what God's showing me, and I've learnt this, and they get really blessed, and then God's also inspiring them to come back and give more encouragement. So we're all free in Christ, you know, but it's all about submission. You know, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I'm so blessed to see everyone practicing the things that we're doing. Like with Becky, you know, I know what she was like beforehand. She would go freak right out because she didn't have this car. And I was praying for her, like, God, just let her keep with you. You just work in her heart, because I know what she could be like, right? I've known her since she was 13 years old or younger. But she kept with God. And then she would call and I'd give her more encouragement. Okay, you just, God's got this, Bex. Don't you worry. You're going to get that car. You'll have that car quicker than you think. And she did. She got it today. And I only said that yesterday. So it's like, it's all about the encouragement. People won't come to you if you're not going to give them encouragement, right? If you're going to run them down, criticize, condemn, and complain. It isn't the gospel of criticize, condemn, and complain. Oh, she didn't say that right. He isn't doing that right. When you speak like that, it's detrimental to you. It's detrimental to you personally. So, when people criticize you, what you respond is, you don't have to respond to them. You just move on. Let them people carry on until they become humble again. But you keep doing what you're doing. Because I tell you now, when you're leading, when you're encouraging people, and all of you are leaders on here, you'll get people to criticize you. Because people do get jealous as well. Oh, look, who does he think he is? Oh, look at him. He thinks he's some Mr. Big Shot. Oh, he's connected to Sangit. He probably thinks he's like Sangit. No, I think higher than that. I am as Christ is. As he is, so am I in this world. And Sangit's a wonderful minister by where I'm learning. Like Paul said, be followers of me because I'm a follower of Christ. Paul's ways were in Christ. People followed him. Timothy. I was sharing with Rebecca today about Timothy and how Paul took him under his wing. and was encouraging him and working with him, how he circumcised him so they can go into the Jews. So there's a lot of wonderful information that God can highlight to us. When we're humble, God opens up those scriptures like you just found gold. You know, gold, when you dig for gold, you get a little bit of gold here, a little bit of gold. And God just opens up these beautiful gems for us to see. But God can also reveal it to your heart when you go to him. He's the fountain of living water. He's the source of all our supply. So my encouragement to you is really do what God puts in your heart. Be focused, like really be focused. I see that God kind of really works in me to be kind of blunt about the encouragement and what people need to do, because I know that I do it this way, and it's very beneficial, very profitable for me as an individual, for me as a minister, for me as a husband, for me as a father, for me as a granddad. And I ain't perfect, you know what I mean? No one's perfect. We all screw up, right? We can all go deviate a little bit. But my heart's for God. I'm willing to change around. Anytime I recognize I've gone wrong or someone points it out to me, I'm like, oh, wow, really? Okay. And then I go to God. Oh, Lord, you show me. And then God shows me. And I'm like, okay, let's get back on it. And that's the great thing with God. We're always in his presence. We're always in his presence, even when you're out of his presence. So this is just a wonderful life to live. We got a glorious life. We got an abundant life. We got a prosperous life. And it's by doing the things and following the encouragement we've been given, that's how we start to manifest the healing, the deliverance, the finances, the restored relationships, people coming from darkness to light. And just like praying for the laborers, my God, pray for those laborers. And God is the one that organizes it. So I was also going and sharing with Becky about Paul, when God forbid him to preach in Asia, forbid him to go here. And then Paul had a dream of a guy in Macedonia saying, come here and teach us, we need your help. And so Paul then had this dream from God, and then he knew where to go. God directed Paul's steps to Macedonia, or Macedonia, whatever you want to call it. And then great outreach occurred. So when we follow God's leading and guiding, then the great doors open. We need to stop following men and traditional. You've got to do it this way. You've got to be in our fellowship. You've got to be in our church. Then you'll have success. Just practice and walk with God. And God will start to speak to your heart, start to reveal to you, start to lead you, start to guide you by his spirit. And it's just very, very wonderful, very simple. It's very freeing. And so God is really with each and every one of you. He's working in you. He's energizing you. Be confident in your God and that he's working in you. And in Philippians 2:13 it says, for it is God which worketh in you. I say it many times. He's continuously working in you. We just need to have our minds focused with God. And then God, who is speaking to your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind, then you start to hear God's voice. And there was a wonderful example I gave Becky about how God speaks. There was a couple, loads of examples. Like when Elijah, he gave up, he thought he was the only one left. And then God encouraged him, and then after going in the wind and the fire and all this stuff, he heard God's voice through the still small voice, through the quietness. And then there was Hannah. Her husband had two wives, and the other wife was very fruitful, and she had many children, but Hannah didn't have one. So she went to the temple. Eli was the priest at the time, and she was praying, and just her lips were moving. And Eli thought she was drunk. He said, why are you here praying drunk? Oh no, I'm praying for a man child. She told him what was going on. And Eli, the high priest at that time, said, okay, you're blessed. Lord grant you a request, type of thing. And so when Samuel the prophet was born, she took him as a young man or a young child to Eli. And Eli rose him up. And he heard a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran to Eli. And he said, oh, you called me. And Eli said, I didn't call you, go and lay down. And this happened three times. And then the third time, then Eli recognized, he said, oh, it's the Lord that's calling you. So when he says it again, you say, here I am, thy servant heareth. So God can talk to you many ways. Are we listening? Do we understand? God really wants to show you many great things, and you've got that spirit connection with God now. You've got direct access, so he can show you. So we just need to not be distracted, be focused what we're doing, and like I said, treat this fellowship as yours. And if you do that, you know, you won't miss it, will you? No matter what's going on, you'll be there. Yeah, I got a responsibility to be a blessing to people. And that you'll be there on time. And that we do things not because it's a religious thing, but because we're reverencing God. Okay, we need to be there for the people. And we're free. There's loads of flexibility. But it's just about the heart. And that's what God looks upon on everything that we do, is our heart. Even from, you know, when we're ministering, when we're talking, what heart are we doing it with? What heart are we given with? Are we doing it with a carnal understanding or a spiritual understanding? And as we walk with God, he will give us the spiritual understanding. So that's what I wanted to share.